Question number four, the demographics of the Madison Metropolitan School District have been changing. With a stagnant budget, yet larger number of ELL, special ed, and at-risk students, many families feel that they have less resources are available for their quote-unquote normal students. How would you balance the needs of these various constituencies so the families without special needs students don't leave the Madison Metropolitan School District in favor of private and suburban schools? This is for all candidates. I'll start with John.
I just think you have to be equitable. And obviously, we do have some state and federal mandates that are unfunded, and but you got to make sure that you are in compliance with the law. Otherwise, you're really in trouble. I think we have a big, high quality of education here. I just wish we did, again, have more funding from the state and federal government for some of the challenges that we face. You know, again, I think when we look at the bigger picture, I want to make sure that students, again, have the courses that that they can be successful in. I want to make sure that, again, all students are treated with respect, make sure our employees are treated with respect, and we're going to do the best we can with what we have, and I think that's a lot better than most.
March.
Oh,
switch it around here.
Okay. You got me on that one. I wasn't ready. No, first of all, what's a normal student? I mean, I've taught middle school so many years, it's hard to it's hard to define normal. So I'm very concerned, actually, to be serious about this. I'm very concerned about White Flight. We have to be concerned about White Flight. That's the elephant in the refrigerator, as my son would say.
Well, black people fly too, but
let's be honest about it. Show me how.
We go first. See, that's the thing.
Oh, yeah?
We go first. Go ahead, I'm sorry. School board meeting.
You should be in a Jewish ghetto in the Bronx. Then I'll show you flight. What are we talking about? Okay. Flight. I said it. I'm going to say it out front. This is a school district for all our kids. We can't let anybody leave it. Every child is important in this district. Our classrooms are a cross-section of our society outside these rooms. We live in this world with all kinds of people, all different intelligences, all different needs. This is our world. And the way we deal with those less fortunate than us kind of defines us as our kind of human being we are. And I look at it that way. I want to be defined as a human being that's there for every child in the district. And that's what I think our city is all about. Define me as someone who's there for every child, please. And that's what we have to do. And that means we must make sure that those kids up here get what they need. Those kids over here get what they need. And it's easy to say that, I know. And what's going to happen is we're putting the burden once again back on our teachers, who are going to have to do much more with much less. And you know what? We have the teachers who can do it. I'm not going to say every single teacher is, you know, Plato or Aristotle, but the simple fact is we have a strong core of teachers that can make this happen. And that's why we have to reach every child. Sorry for the
name. Maya.
Okay, they were too entertaining. You're going to have to repeat the question.
It's a long one. I'll only give you two of these.
Okay.
No. The demographics of the Madison Metropolitan School District has been changing. With a stagnant budget, yet a larger number of ELL, special ed, and at-risk students, many families feel that less resources are available for their quote-unquote normal students. How would you balance the needs of these various constituencies so the families without special needs students don't leave the Madison Metropolitan School District in favor of private and suburban schools?
Well, there's a couple things going on in that question. One is that I think our population has been either the same or actually dropping. And we actually are starting to see some white flight, not a lot. But we aren't seeing increases. That's one thing. I also think that we should not, as a school board, look at changing demographics as a negative. I happen to look at it as a positive. And for my kids in the public schools, I want them to be exposed to a broad range of diversity, more than I had in the South. I can tell you that much. And I think that it's positive. What I think happens in a school district is that you get a certain way of educating that has been the same for so long that it takes a lot of finessing to understand about these different populations. I'll give you an example. I was PTO president of Franklin Randall last year, and for the past several years, they've been trying to get Latino parents to serve on the PTO and to serve and to represent themselves. We have a parent empowerment group, which is very successful, that is for all parents of kids of color at Franklin. And two things happen. One is that it doesn't transfer to Randall, and that's because you need to have these systems in place where you set a policy that says if we do this here, we want to continue that because it's successful and the parents actually like it and the kids do well at Franklin. But the other thing that happened during this time is that the Latino parents, when I went and talked to Yvonne Wolschinger, she said, that isn't how you get Latino parents involved in schools. You don't tell them to go to on a PTO board. They don't want to do that. That's how they don't see it that way. Yet she gets 100% participation. And so I guess what I'm saying is that we can't assume just because we're good educators that we know everything about culture. And we also have to not assume that this diverse community that we live in is a negative. I see it as a positive.
Great. Well, I too have chosen to live in Madison because of the diversity, so I see that as a very positive thing. Unfortunately, in my business, I work in real estate also besides the small business consulting. I do see a lot of people moving out of Madison, and it's all cultures and races, and so it's not just white flight, it's people, mainly I would call it middle class flight. And essentially, a couple things, the main reasons I hear is one, safety, and two, quality, and third, that they don't feel they're being listened to. And so, essentially, I really would stress that we need to listen to parents and value their opinions. I would look for innovations in education, things like charter schools, things, you know, other educational possibilities. There's lots, we have huge resources in this community. We need to use them. People would support the schools even more than they already do. We do have great support in Madison, but we could have even more support if we would listen to the parents and value our students, and we, that's what I would do. Okay.
Thank you. Beth?
Well, like Johnny said, we do have a lot of federal unfunded mandates that are extremely difficult, and it does cost us a lot of money. But I think we need to look at our diversity as a gift and as a strength. And if we can give our teachers the tools and the resources in their classroom to differentiate the curriculum, if we can encourage teachers to do team teaching, then those sorts of classes are the most successful. That's where kids learn the most. They learn the most academically. They learn to interact with their peers. They learn to teach their peers. They learn real life experiences. They learn to not to fear human differences. They acceptance, tolerance, all those really important things that kids are learning at school outside of the academics. And I'm not sure what the rest of the question was, but I guess that's all I'll say.
Thank you.